Amen. It's good to be in the house of the Lord today. Something about that name. Amen.
Amen.
If you have your Bibles, turn to Ezekiel 34. Ezekiel chapter 34. While you're turning there, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for this day and thank you for gathering us together. Thank you, Lord, for everybody that's here. And Lord, I believe that you put them here for a reason. Lord, give me the ability to preach this message. And I just pray that it falls on good ground, that we may bear good fruit. In Jesus' name, amen. Ezekiel chapter 34, we begin reading in verse 1. Ezekiel 34, begin reading in verse 1. And the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, prophesy against the shepherds of Israel. Prophesy and say unto them, Thus saith the Lord God unto the shepherds, Woe be to the shepherds of Israel that do feed themselves. Should not the shepherds feed the flock? Ye eat the fat. And ye clothe you with the wool. Ye kill them that are fed, but ye need not. You feed not the flock. The diseased have ye not strengthened, neither have ye healed that which was sick, neither have ye bound up that which was broken, neither have ye brought again that which was driven away, neither have ye sought that which was lost, but with force. And with cruelty have ye ruled them, and they were scattered because there is no shepherd, and they became meat to all the beasts of the field when they were scattered. Now understand, this is geared towards bad shepherds, hirelings. They took care of their self rather than they took care of the flock. They took care of themselves, but they deprived their flock. They took advantage and took from the flock. It said that ye are fat, in verse 3, and they clothe you with the wool. Where does wool come from? It comes from the sheep. They're taking things from the sheep, but they're not giving anything back. And they didn't care for the weak and the sick and the lost. And they ruled with cruelty. Understand this about Ezekiel. He was a prophet and he was a priest during the Babylonian captivity and during the Babylonian captivity. He was a contemporary with Jeremiah. They both prophesied against the corruption of their day. They warned the people that captivity is coming. They warned the people to repent. They warned the people of their wicked ways, but obviously they did not listen. Both rebuked the priests and the false prophets of their day. Both rebuked the politicians of their day. Both witnessed the apostasy and overthrow of Jerusalem. Both suffered with the conquered and besieged Jews. Understand that there was several major empires that went through in that time. The Babylonian Empire. And the Jews went into Babylonian captivity during Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon. And they were in Babylonian captivity during the Babylonian Empire. And they basically were owned by them. And then there was the Medo-Persian Empire. And then there was the Greek Empire. And then the Roman Empire. And the Roman Empire was basically ruling over the world, the known world, whenever the Lord Jesus Christ was around in that day. But Judah saw limited freedom after the Babylonian Empire was defeated by the Medes and the Persians. And that is where Ezra and Nehemiah were. That's whenever they were contemporary after the Babylonian Empire. But Ezekiel was before the Babylonian captivity. But after the Babylonian captivity, Ezra and Nehemiah were pioneers that God used to bring revival in Judah. But shortly Judah went apostate because a lot of the people took Babylonian pagan superstitions and tried to add it to the law and things of that nature. And so that was the reason why the scribes and the Pharisees were corrupt during the time of Christ, and the Lord was constantly preaching against them and rebuking them for their corruption. And people were wearied. People were tired of the corruption of their day by the time the Lord Jesus Christ manifested himself on earth. People were tired of the false prophets and the false preachers and the false teachers. They were tired because they've been through years of captivity and being ruled over by pagans. And they wanted help. They wanted answers. And they wanted healing. And then came the Good Shepherd. And he stepped on a mountain and he said, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted." Could you imagine being wearied after years and years of corruption, and then finally the Lord come to earth and he comforted them with the Beatitudes. The Good Shepherd. The Good Shepherd came to this world. People seen wickedness. People seen evil. People seen confusion. God's not the author of confusion. People saw apostasy. Now they have heard from the only one who is good, the Lord Jesus Christ. Think we for a minute. The Lord was good all the time. Amen? Amen. Turn with me to John chapter 10. I'm going to preach to you about the Good Shepherd. John chapter 10. Verse 10. John 10, 10. "The thief cometh not but for to steal and kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth life to his sheep. But he that is an hireling and not the shepherd, whose own the sheep are not, seeth the wolf coming and leaveth the sheep, and fleeth, and the wolf catcheth them, and scattereth the sheep. And the hireling fleeth, because he is an hireling, and careth not for the sheep. I am the good shepherd, and know my sheep, and am known of mine." He says again and again, if you have a red letter Bible, the words that I just read to you are red. Those were the words that came from the blessed Son of God, the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the Good Shepherd. That is a title that he had. He was the Good Shepherd. His title had to do with his character. He had good character. Everything that God has created, whenever God created the world, he called good. He created this, and it was good. But then the fall of man caused a curse upon man, upon woman, upon Satan, and upon creation. Thorns and thistles and death came up. And the first one who deserves the title good since the fall is the Lord Jesus Christ, because he has always and always will be good. God is good all the time. Amen? The Lord Jesus Christ loved his flock. He loves you and me today. He cared for his flock. He cares for you and me today. He heals his flock and he heals the needy. And he teaches us out of his word all the time. He is a good shepherd. He did seek that which was lost. Aren't you glad he left the 90 and the 9 for you and me? He fed the people. He fed them literally. He fed 5,000. And he also fed them spiritually, because he gave them the word of God. Amen? There was no comparison. It says, "But he that is a hireling and not the shepherd, whose own the sheep are not, seeth the wolf coming and leaveth the sheep and fleeth, And the wolf catcheth them and scattereth the sheep. The hireling fleeth because he is a hireling and careth not for the sheep. There was just no comparison. It was night and day. The people knew that the scribes and the Pharisees were hirelings, but they were finally seeing what was good. Amen? The Lord is good all the time. There's no comparison with hirelings. Amen? It says, I am the good shepherd, verse 14, and know my sheep, and am known of mine. As the Father knoweth me, even so know I the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. There's a good knowledge. The Lord knows. He has a good knowledge. He has a good character, and He has a good knowledge. He knows your fears today. He knows your feelings today. He knows your desires. He knows your prayers. He knows the very hairs on your head. He knows your needs. He knows your future. He knows your heart. He knows you. Not one sparrow falls to the ground without Him knowing it. He has a good knowledge. And He knows what to do about whatever problem you can bring to the Lord. He knows your name. He knows your very secrets. And He cares for you and He cares for me. He has a good knowledge. Turn with me to just a couple pages to John chapter 1. Back a few pages to John chapter 1, verse 47. This was one thing that came as a shock to Nathanael. John 1, 47. Jesus saw Nathanael coming to him and saith to him, Behold, an Israelite in whom is no guile. And Nathanael said unto him, Whence knowest thou me? Jesus answered and said unto him, Before that Philip called thee, when thou wast under the fig tree, I saw thee. Nathanael answered and saith unto him, Rabbi, thou art the Son of God. Thou art the King of Israel. Jesus answered and said unto him, Because I said unto thee, I saw thee under the fig tree, believest thou? Thou shalt see greater things than these. My goodness, he has a perfect knowledge. He's saying, I am about to blow your mind. The Lord did blow our minds, amen. He blows our mind every single day. He never ceases to amaze me. He never ceases to amaze me because He is the Good Shepherd. There's a good sacrifice. Let's go to John chapter 10 again to verse 15. As the Father knoweth me, even so know I the Father, and I lay down my life for my sheep. And other sheep I have, which are not of this fold, them also will I must bring, and they shall hear my voice, and there shall be one fold and one shepherd. There was a perfect sacrifice. Therefore doth my Father love me, because I lay down my life, that I might take it again. No man taketh it from me, but I lay it down to myself. Of myself, I have power to lay it down. I have power to take it again. He's saying, I have power to lay down my life, and I also have power to rise from the grave. This commandment have I received of my Father. So there was a good sacrifice. He laid His life down for you and me. Amen? On the old rugged cross, He shed His blood for you and me. Hold your place in John chapter 10. Let's go to Hebrews chapter 9. Hebrews 9:22. Hebrews 9:22. And almost all things are by the law purged with blood. And without the shedding of blood is no remissions of sin. Let's skip down to chapter 10. For the law, Verse 1, for the law, having a shadow of good things to come, and not the very image of things, can never with those sacrifices which they offered year by year continually to make the comers thereunto perfect. He's saying that all the animal sacrifices of the past did not make anyone perfect. It could not make you perfect. For then would they not have ceased to be offered? Basically, he's saying that the reason why they had to continually give offerings is because it could not make you perfect. Because that the worshipers, once purged, should have had no more conscience of sins. But in those sacrifices, there is a remembrance, again, made of sins every year. For it is not possible that the blood of bulls and of goats should take away sins. Wherefore, when he cometh into the world, he saith, sacrifices and offerings thou wouldest not, but a body hast thou prepared me. In burnt offerings and sacrifices for sin thou hast no pleasure. Then said I, lo, I come in the volume of a book, for it is written of me to do thy will, O God. Above when he said, sacrifice and offering, and burnt offerings and offerings for sin thou wouldest not. Neither hast pleasure therein which are offered by the law. Then said he, lo, I come to thy will, O God. He taketh away the first, that he may establish the second, by which will we are sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. Once for all. And every priest standeth daily ministering and offering oftentimes the same sacrifices which can never take away sin. But this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sin forever, sat down at the right hand of God. That's the death, the burial, and the resurrection and ascension of the Lord Jesus Christ. Today, he is seated at the right hand of the Father. He's not dead in a tomb. He's seated at the right hand of the Father, from henceforth expecting till his enemies be made his footstool. By one offering he hath perfected forever them that are sanctified. That sounds like a good sacrifice. Doesn't that sound like a good sacrifice? He had good character. He has good knowledge. And there is a good sacrifice. He paid a debt that none of us could afford to pay. He paid our sin debt. He was sinless. He was perfect. He was the holy Son of God. He bled and died for your sins and my sins. He paid it all. Jesus paid it all. All to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow. Once and for all. Talk about a good shepherd. Amen. He had good obedience. He had good obedience. Let's go back to chapter 10, verse 18. No man taketh it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again. This commandment I have received of my Father. The Lord Jesus Christ was obedient to the will of his Father. He had good obedience. Let's go to Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2, verse 5. Philippians 2, verse 5. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation and took up upon him the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of man. And being found in the fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. He was obedient in temptation. The devil tried to tempt him. And he was obedient. He quoted scripture back to the devil. He was obedient in seeking the lost. He came to save that which was lost. And he was obedient in death. He prayed in the Garden of Gethsemane, not my will, but thine. He was obedient unto death. Amen. He had a good gift. He offers us a good gift. John chapter 10. We'll begin reading back where we left off in verse 19. There was a division, therefore, again, among the Jews for these sayings. And many of them said, He hath a devil and is mad. Why hear ye him? Others said, These are not the words of him that hath a devil. Can a devil open the eyes of the blind? And it was at Jerusalem, the feast of the dedication, and it was winter. And Jesus walked in the temple in Solomon's porch. Then came the Jews round about him and said unto him, How long dost thou make us to doubt? If thou be the Christ, tell us plainly. Jesus answered them, I told you, and you believe not. The words that I do in my Father's name, they bear witness of me. But ye believe not, because ye are not of my sheep, as I said unto you. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give unto them eternal life. What a gift, amen? What a gift. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father, which gave them me, is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. Talk about a wonderful gift, everlasting life. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. You understand that there are people with money, there are people with power, there are people with fame, and they spend millions of dollars to look younger, feel younger, and try to live forever, and all of that effort is in vain. That's a gift that only God can bring, and He did it through His only begotten Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. It's only found in Christ, and it is forever. And I give unto them eternal life. If it could be lost, it's not eternal. Eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father, which gave them me, is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. That is eternal security, if I have ever heard it. He not only saves you, He keeps you saved. Amen. He is the author and finisher of our faith. Eternal salvation. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, lest any man should boast. Talk about a good gift. Amen? We don't deserve it. It's grace. If you could lose your salvation, you could. But it's by grace. Why? He gives it to us. We never deserved it. But He is a good shepherd. Amen? Ain't God good? Anybody who could come to Jesus Christ, repent of your sins, and trust Him as your crucified, buried, and risen Savior. He said, if any man come unto me, I will in no wise cast out. What a Savior. He's the good shepherd. He had good character. He had good obedience. He had a good sacrifice. He has a good gift, and He offers it to whosoever. He offers it to whosoever. I'm glad I'm a whosoever, aren't you? It's good to be a whosoever. But there's also good unity. He said, I and my Father are one. Then the Jews took up stones again to stone Him. Jesus answered them, Many good works have I showed you from my Father. For which of those works do you stone me? The Jews answered Him, saying, For a good work we stone thee not, but for blasphemy, because that thou, being a man, makest thyself God. the Lord Jesus Christ was God. He was God manifested in the flesh. We believe in the Trinity. Amen? Amen. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost, all one God. Three distinct persons, one God. Jesus answered them, "Is it not written in your law that I said unto thee, you're gods? If he called them gods unto whom the word of God came, and the scripture cannot be broken, say ye of him whom the Father hath sanctified and sent unto the world, thou blasphemest, because I said, I am the Son of God? If I do not the works of my Father, believe me not." The Lord was healing the blind. He was healing the sick. He was making the deaf hear. He was making the dumb talk. He was making the blind see. He said, if I wasn't doing these things, don't believe me. But he was doing those things, and they still didn't believe him. What a thing. If I do not the works of my Father, believe me not. But if I do, though ye believe me not, believe the works that ye may know and believe that the Father is in me and I in him. Sounds like a good unity to me. Amen. Therefore they sought again to take him, but he escaped out of their hand and went away again beyond Jordan into the place where John at first baptized. And there he abode, and many resorted unto him and said, John did no miracle, but all things that John spake of this man were true. And many believed on him there. Turn back a few pages to John chapter 1. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. And the Word was God. You can show that to any cult that does not believe in the deity and godhood of Jesus Christ. And they don't know what to do with it. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The Lord Jesus Christ is co-eternal with the Father. He's always existed. He always will exist. He's coexistent with the Father, and he's co-equal with the Father. All three persons of the Godhead are co-eternal, co-existent, and co-equal. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. Three distinct persons, one God. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. And verse 14 says, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, and the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and full of truth. He was the good shepherd. Amen? Amen? He did the works of his Father. And if he didn't do it, he said, don't believe. But he did. His works and his miracles proved it. No man in history can compare. No man in history can do what he did. Whether you believe it or not, whether you believe it or not, all have to agree there was no person in the world like the Lord Jesus Christ. We believe that he is God. We believe that he is the Son of God. We believe in the Trinity. He's the second person of the Trinity, the Son of God. The Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, equally one God. The Lord Jesus Christ is the good shepherd. He had a good sacrifice. He had a good character. He had a good gift. He had good obedience, good unity. The Lord Jesus Christ is the good shepherd. Turn with me to Psalm 23. Psalm 23. Some of you probably grew up memorizing this. Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me to still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table for me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Is the Lord your shepherd? You know what he says? He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. He can lead you. The shepherd leads the flock. The shepherd leads the flock. He's a good leader. Amen? Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. He protects us. Amen? Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. My cup runneth over. Everything that he has blessed me with is more than I ever deserve. He's a good shepherd. Amen? Surely, goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. He has confidence in his shepherd. Do you have confidence in your shepherd? Is he your shepherd? Are you a part of his flock? Is he your shepherd? Are you saved? The Lord Jesus Christ bled and died on an old rugged cross, and he rose from the grave on the third day. Whosoever comes to him and believes on him as their crucified, buried, and risen Savior, you can become a part of his flock. Are you saved? If you are saved, maybe you are saved and you know you're saved, but you're not trusting your shepherd like you ought to. Can you honestly look at Psalm 23 and say, yes, he's taking care of me. Yes, he's protecting me. Yes, he's providing for me. If so, are you appreciating it? Are you appreciating it like you should? Why don't you come and lay your burdens down at the altar? Why don't you come? Father, thank you for this day and thank you for your word. Thank you for being the good shepherd. You're good all the time. Help us to trust you. Help us to trust your leading. Help us to trust you as you guide us. Lord, if there's one here that don't know you as their personal crucified, buried, and risen Savior, I pray that today can be the day of salvation. Help us to trust you and love you more and more each day. In Jesus' name, amen. You mind the Lord now.